Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
On great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and it's going to be great to catch up with Chief Fox Foreign Correspondent Trey Yinks here on the program. He was the very first reporter on the scene October 7, 2023, following the Hamas attacks on Israel. It continues to lead Fox News Channel's coverage surrounding the Israel-Hamas war from the region. He's got a new book out. It's the 12th Fox News book, which will be released on October 1st, titled Black Saturday. And it's a gripping firsthand account of the terrorist attack in Israel and now ongoing war that it started in Gaza. And he joins us here on the National Defense. Trey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
And where are you now?
Right now I'm in the city of Haifa in northern Israel.
Okay. Boy, a kid from Pennsylvania in Israel. That's quite a transition, huh?
Absolutely. I've been doing this for a long time, but it's still something I wake up every day and I'm thankful for. It's a real opportunity.
Oh, man. I know that I've seen some of your reports that are, I mean, you look at where you are and what's happening around you, and very courageous to be in some of those situations with, I know there was one where grenades being thrown at you and you had to be moved by the Israeli army. So there's a lot of consternation sometimes when you're doing your job, right?
Absolutely. And every day it's something different. Today's event was a wake up call this morning. My alarm clock was rocket sirens sounding across this northern Israeli city as 10 Hezbollah rockets rained down. And I went out to the balcony and started reporting. And this is what we do.
Wow. Wow. We're talking to Fox Chief Foreign Correspondent Trey Yinks here in the program. Trey, so what is your assessment right now? I mean, I know this is such a very fluid situation every single second. Is there any chance for a ceasefire?
At this moment, there is not, especially as it relates to the war between Israel and Hamas inside Gaza. And now there is this new developing conflict on the northern border between Israel and the Iran-backed group Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And so there's more likely to be at least a temporary pause in the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in the north. But as it relates to the war in Gaza, almost a year in, there are no diplomatic solutions on the table. You still have around 100 hostages, some of them dead, some of them alive inside Gaza. And the death toll among Palestinians continues to rise. And so the war is ongoing, and the diplomatic efforts so far have failed.
And as we talk this morning, Netanyahu is scheduled to address the UN. Is that going to make any difference?
No. is the short answer,
yeah.
Because he will use it as the opportunity. He used it as in the past to speak about the threats that Israel faces, real threats from countries like Iran and its proxies across the region, like Hezbollah in the north. And so he'll discuss those things, and I'm sure he'll discuss the October 7th massacre. He'll talk about Black Saturday because it was an event that changed the psyche of the Israeli people. And broadly, there is support for military action against both Hamas and Hezbollah because of what happened. The Israelis saw firsthand what can take place, an attack that large that around 1,200 people lost their lives in. And so he'll likely discuss a variety of topics like this and also the ongoing Israeli war efforts.
Well, take us back to that Black Saturday, if you will, Trey. I mean, first U.S. reporter on the scene, and what struck you? What sticks in your memory from the very first actions of that that Saturday?
So I get a phone call at 7:03 a.m. in the morning on October 7th, and it's my producer. She says something's happening in the south. There are rocket sirens all over the country, but doesn't have a whole lot of information. And so we did what we do. Every time there are attacks here in the Middle East, we go and we report on the ground to tell the world what's happening. And so eventually my team and I headed to southern Israel toward the Gaza border, thinking this was just a normal rocket attack as we'd seen so many times in the past. But as we would later find out, also in real time, it wasn't. It was an infiltration of thousands of gunmen crossing from Gaza, entering these communities along the border known as the kibbutzim and slaughtering people in their homes. And we saw people die in front of us. We thankfully didn't drive just one intersection further where we would have been ambushed by Hamas. But we were very, very close as that massacre was unfolding, and then stayed in southern Israel for months reporting on the war that developed.
And I remember being surprised, and a lot of people being surprised, that that Israel was that unguarded with their security. What do you make of that?
Absolutely. And this was something that I really wanted to dig into when I wrote Black Saturday. How did this happen? How could such a massive intelligence failure take place? And I actually interview Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, for the book. And we talk about this, and we talk about where he was and how surprised he was, the top defense official in this country. And still to this day, there are unanswered questions about how it happened. But there are other answers, and some of those answers are quite uncomfortable realities for the Israelis. Sometimes soldiers responded to the Gaza border, and I read about this in Black Saturday. There were hostages that were killed by the Israelis on the 7th. They were hit by fire from helicopters and tank fire along the border, but the vast majority were slaughtered by Hamas. And I think that as I look into what happened on that day through this book and through the course of my reporting, I provide as much nuance and context as possible, because I think that oftentimes viewers or readers, they want a black and white answer to a question that is not black and white. And this conflict, like all conflicts I cover around the world, is not clear cut. It's not something that is easy to report on, but I think that is actually part of the inspiration behind writing a book, because it gives you a little bit more time to explain some of those delicate moments throughout this war.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
There are other automakers in Detroit. But there's only one that's built for Detroit. Ford. The motor company that remembers the Motor City who birthed it. The one restoring the old train station. The one that employs more hourly workers in the U.S. than any other automaker. The one that assembles more vehicles in the U.S. than any other manufacturer. The one that supplied PPE to frontline workers in Detroit. And assembled ventilators and respirators when the U.S. needed them. The one with a football field in Detroit named after the century-old family-led business started right here in Detroit. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on Center for Automotive Research data. Based on IHS Market CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Assembled with U.S. and imported content.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. More than 250 people gathered Friday at King Bee Farm in Ardmore, Tennessee for the Huntsville SOF Network's 7th annual Bullets, Bourbon, and Barbecue. All proceeds from the annual BB&B benefit veterans and their families through direct support of still-serving veterans, no-cost services. Huntsville SOF Network's Peggy Wright said, "This event is so important to our community that we support still-serving veterans and that we're giving back to a community that is continuously given not only to our community, but every community in our nation." Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
The holidays are here, and the Home Depot has everything you need to stay connected with smart home upgrades. Whether you're keeping an eye out for the big guy, or keeping an eye on your family, the Home Depot has you covered with great tech, like the Ring Indoor Camera 2-Pack with advanced motion detection, two-way talk, and color night vision. Plus, get your smart home devices the smart way with free delivery. Get holiday ready with seasonal savings happening now at the Home Depot. Subject to availability, see homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Robert is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications. I've been an avid fly fisherman. I've been taking Prevagen for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen is available in stores everywhere without a prescription. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Hi, I'm Mike Richmond of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs with information on an important free resource for veterans, the VA Health and Benefits app. The tool is like a one-stop shop for veterans. It allows them to view or cancel VA medical appointments, send and receive messages from healthcare providers, and download VA benefit letters to provide veteran status or disability payments. Veterans can also manage existing VA claims, find the closest VA medical centers, and get quick access to the VA crisis line. You can download the Health and Benefits app on your iPhone or at the Google App Store, or wherever you normally get your mobile apps. If you already use this app, please share your feedback on your phone's App Store. That's the VA Health and Benefits mobile app. I'm Mike Richmond.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked. taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
The Ramsey Show.
Focusing is the number one key to becoming debt-free. It is not a math problem as much as it is an emotional decision and this incredible focus.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Yeah, we're talking about the book Black Saturday that is just about to come out from Trey Yinks here on the National Defense. And you mentioned before support in a region, and I think that's another thing that's it's not black and white, and that a lot of Americans have trouble wrapping their heads around in terms of is that region actually in support of Israel? Is it in support of Hamas? How does that shake out?
It's a great question, and I explain this in the book and often on air, that everyone here, like they do around the world, exists on a spectrum in terms of their views and levels of support for governments, militaries, organizations, ideas, concepts. And Israel and Gaza are very similar in that way. Their views exist on a different spectrum, and the percentages of people are certainly different, but there are plenty of Palestinians in Gaza who wish that October 7th never happened. They understand that this brought so much death and destruction to their people. And some of them had worked in Israel previously. They have Israeli friends. There were times when you could travel easily back and forth between Israel and Gaza. There are other people, Palestinians in Gaza, who have made it their life's mission to kill Israelis and actually participated in the October 7th massacre. And for the Israelis, you have a different spectrum, but it's also a spectrum. There are peace activists in Israel that are calling for an end to the war and to stop the bombing campaign against Gaza. And then you have far-right politicians who are calling for Gaza to be leveled. And so there are a variety of different viewpoints and standpoints in this entire conflict. And I think that was part of the challenge, but also I felt an opportunity in writing Black Saturday because I could go through all of those different positions and explain to people that it's not clear cut, and it never is clear cut. And I think you can find that around the world when you're talking about war. There are two sides to war, but there are an infinite amount of positions that you can hold during those sides.
Interesting. That's so interesting. We're talking to Chief Foreign Correspondent for Fox News, Trey Yinkst, here on the National Defense. And obviously this, you know, the phrase all-out war now has been mentioned by Secretary of Defense as well as President Biden. What do you make of that, and how likely is that?
I was actually quite surprised to hear the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, make those comments this week, because it was almost, it seemed from an outside observer's perspective, and you know, we have a great team covering the Pentagon. I don't cover it on a daily basis, but you know, it almost seemed like he was admitting that this is headed in the wrong direction, and this is almost out of control to a place where it is spiraling, where the U.S. won't be able to pull the region back from the edge. Because he said it in a way, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, that there's still time. There's still time left for diplomacy.
Right.
Well,
right.
As he said that, there were rockets flying over the border into northern Israeli cities, and the Israelis continued to strike all throughout Lebanon. And then there are these other actors and threats in the region, Iranian proxies like the Houthis in Yemen, who last night launched a ballistic missile at Tel Aviv, a city who has 300,000 people in it, and there were sirens sounding across it. More than 500,000 people headed to bomb shelters as this ballistic missile was intercepted overhead. And so it just gives you a sense of, while there are statements coming out of Washington and there are comments about the possibility of diplomacy and a path forward that doesn't involve war, the conflict is unfolding. And I think that's important context for our viewers as we report on this story.
Yeah, and you know, when I heard that from Lloyd Austin, it sounded kind of provocative to me. And I don't know, you never know the entire context behind all of it. But I think the one thing that everybody can agree on in this conflict is the fact that your heart just goes out to the families of these hostages. And what do you think, do you have any comments on or thoughts on if that will ever be resolved? Will these hostages ever be freed?
I think many of them will never come home, and that's a really sad reality of this conflict. And, you know, we've been following so many stories of hostages since the early days. Since we were here on October 7th, we immediately started to hear these names and then go gather the stories of the families of people who were dragged against their will as hostages into Gaza. And they've been advocating every week to try and get a deal to get them out. And the country's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has faced real criticism for what his critics say, putting his political needs over a deal to get the hostages out of Gaza. The reality is that this society is divided on what to do next, of how to end the war in Gaza and get the hostages home. But every day that passes is another day that they are in Hamas captivity and at risk. And, you know, we talk so often about the numbers, and in a very almost weird way, as we cover this story, we always talk, okay, now there's around 100 hostages, some of them dead, some of them alive, being held in Gaza. Initially, it was 240. Then during the ceasefire agreement in November, more than 100 were released. And we talk about them in the way sometimes that we would talk about updates to Olympic gold medals.
Right.
And I try to really avoid that. I try to keep that in mind as we are covering this story and tell the story of these hostages through their families, through people that our viewers and my readers in Black Saturday can relate to. And by doing that, I've come to know many of the families very well, and the hostages actually very well, and who they are and were. And some of them were peace activists. I just remember there was one family member that we interviewed, a son of a hostage who actually was ultimately killed in Gaza. And he said, my dad is a peace activist. Like, he spent his life protesting the Israeli blockade of Gaza. And when he could, he would drive Palestinian children to hospitals.
Wow.
And he was taken hostage. And, you know, how do I tell that story in a way that people care? How do I make them understand that this is a peaceful guy who actually loved the Gazan people? Now, he didn't want to hurt them, but yet he was taken hostage. And so there's that story. There's another story of a man from a town, Nirim. He and his wife were taken into Gaza, this young couple. And ultimately, his wife was released as part of the November ceasefire deal. And we talked to this guy's mother and his sister over and over again. We interviewed them. And ultimately, the last story that we did on this family was attending his funeral because his body was recovered from Gaza. And these are the realities of war. They're the realities that I capture in this new book, Black Saturday, that I try to capture in our reporting throughout our coverage on Fox News, because people have to know about this. They can't forget about what took place on October 7th. And they also shouldn't forget about the war and the suffering of the Palestinian people. And I think for many, it can be easy to say, well, what about the hostages, or what about the civilian death toll in Gaza? My response to that is, what about both?
Yeah.
Why can't we cover both?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you say, it's not a black and white situation. I mean, there are so many thoughts and so many different emotions on all sides. But you do a great job, Trey, in fleshing those out. The book is called Black Saturday. It will be out October 1st. Hey, man, stay safe. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate that, and really appreciate your reporting.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world.
From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Whether it's a harvest theme or Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
The Shasta College Art Gallery is proud to host No Beginning, No End, a collected show of posthumous works by William Wareham, 1941 to 2023. Join us at Shasta College through October 18th with a guest lecture by Philip E. Linhares, Chief Curator of Art Emeritus, Oakland Museum of California on Thursday, October 17th, 5 to 6 p.m. in Room 400. There will be a reception following the lecture from 6 to 7 p.m. in Building 300.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, there's a great new book out by David McCloskey. He's a former CIA analyst and consultant, and while at the CIA, he wrote regularly for the President's Daily Brief, delivered classified testimony, briefed senior White House officials, ambassadors, military officials, Arab royalty. He worked in CIA field stations across the Middle East, and so he knows what he's talking about with this novel called The Seventh Floor, set inside the CIA, and David joins us here in the National Defense. David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Randy. Thanks so much for having me.
Sounds like you have had a pretty incredible career. Can you talk about your work a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I was a CIA analyst for a number of years. I got in, I guess, really, really young. I was actually a member of their undergrad intern program. So I took my first polygraph and actually ended up joining the agency when I was like 19 or 20.
Oh, wow.
I got polygraphed when I was 19 and joined when I was 20.
Wow.
And got put on the Middle East sort of by happenstance. The guy who came to do recruiting on campus ran that office. And I worked on primarily Syria while I was inside the agency. Did that both from the field and from Langley, and left, I guess about 10 years ago now, did some other things in consulting, but it kind of started to write a little bit upon leaving the CIA just to kind of like, frankly, you kind of process some of the Syria related stuff that I'd been working on. You know, of course, the country had fallen into this terrible civil war. And so my book, my first novel called Damascus Station, really kind of came out of that experience and sort of written in over a 5-year period. And now, you know, I'm kind of did Moscow and Russia with the second one. And this story, The Seventh Floor, in some respects is an even more personal one because I'm trying to deal as realistically and authentically as possible with the CIA and really kind of the culture, the moral code, and what it's like to work there as an analyst or case officer.
Yeah, it's fascinating to read some of this stuff. It's called The Seventh Floor, and so this is your third novel, and this is the first novel of yours that I've read. I want to go back and read the other two now because this character, Artemis Aphrodite Proctor, I have never read such a badass character in a book, man. She is great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. She's one of those characters, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, she is not the main character in the first novel by any stretch. And I actually started the second novel thinking that she wouldn't be a character. And in sort of a desperate point in the writing process where things were not going well, I injected her in or just brought her in because I kind of needed a character like that. And she's one of those characters where you think you're going to write a scene that's going to go a certain way, and you start writing, and it's almost like she's got her own energy to push it in another direction. And she's very colorful. She's quite profane. She's got terrible, you know, she dresses pretty terribly. She's got very strange eating habits. But she's very effective and she's very loyal. And you know, she's a great character on which to hang a story like this, which is a lot of, you know, it's a bit of a mystery in some ways. She's trying to investigate sort of who is this Russian mole at Langley. And in different hands, that could be kind of a dry story, but she's anything but dry.
Yeah, I don't think you injected her in, David. I think she forced her way in.
She forced. Yeah, that's a better.
Exactly. Talking to David McCloskey here on the National Defense. The novel is The Seventh Floor, and you know, you talk a lot about, and I guess the CIA is like any other agency or organization where there are politics involved, and the politics sometimes get in the way of doing the job. You kind of delve into a lot of that in this. Was that your experience at the CIA also?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I was, I guess, low enough level while I was there that I think a lot of that stuff, you know, the sort of knife fighting happened above my pay grade, but you certainly saw it. You could feel it in the building, and it was very obvious that particularly when you got to a certain level, right? It was all politics. I mean, like the upper levels of almost any organization are. And so in that sense, you know, the CIA is, I guess, sort of normal. It probably behaves like the upper level sort of leaders and managers are not totally dissimilar from those at a big, you know, Fortune 500 company, in that they're competing for, you know, a small number of seats and the right, you know, promotions and positions and all that good stuff. And at the same time, the espionage business is kind of a strange business. You know, we're not making widgets or anything like that. You know, we're trying to convince people to commit, you know, treason and give us the secrets of their countries. And so you have all this stuff kind of smashed together. And I think it's just great fun because the stakes can be really high.
Oh, yeah.
You have this great sort of operational stuff you can do out in the field. And then at the same time, you know, Langley is sort of a snake pit of, you know, people politicking.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what makes it so fascinating for me to read, too, about, I mean, you've got all the regular spy stuff in there, but then you have this political side and the human side. And so is Proctor, is she based on anybody that you worked with at the CIA?
I think that might be the most classified piece of my novel, because I'm concerned that if the original inspiration for Proctor were to find out that there would be no more books or interviews because I would be murdered. She was initially based off of a case officer that I knew fairly well and worked with.
Wow.
Pretty closely. But I will say this, like any good character, she quickly became her own person.
Sure.
Right? And so I took some inspiration from that case officer and used that to kind of get to know the character a little bit in the first book. And now when I write Proctor, I don't think about that person anymore. Right. You know, Proctor is kind of her own beast, as it were. But she started inspired by somebody, and I would fear for my life if I told you.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, she's so detailed and every nuance is there. I thought, man, he's got to know her.
There was a little bit to get it going for sure.
So, I mean, you know, when I was reading this, I'm thinking this is a movie, right?
I hope so.
I could see that on the big screen.
Yeah. I think it would work, you know, as a, cause it really, the central question, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways you could frame that, but really it's a whodunit, right?
Yeah, and right.
It's a whodunit with
a
stakes
twist.
that are geopolitical in nature, but also stakes that are deeply personal, because the short list of suspects are really people that Proctor is really close friends with or was really close friends with.
Yes.
And they go back for a generation, and so you kind of have the, I mean, like any good spy novel, I think, you know, I've tried my best to sort of flatten the distance between the geopolitical stakes and the personal stakes, so they're kind of one and the same. Which, and I think that, you know, done correctly, that could work really well in, you know, a feature film kind of format, for sure.
My favorite, I won't give anything away, but my favorite part of the book was when Proctor is kind of in the last meeting with her superiors, and she has a bad stomach situation. That was great.
I wondered, when I wrote that scene, you know, I had a lot of fun with it, and I sat back and I thought, you know, Is this too crazy? Because she kind of has to. I don't think I'm going to be giving anything away to say that something early in the novel goes terribly wrong and Proctor gets run out of CIA. I thought this is the kind of woman who she's not just kind of getting quietly fired.
Yeah, right.
This is the kind of person who goes out in the most colorful, you know, loud, atrocious way possible. And so I just thought, what would that be? And I thought, yeah, it's having a serious accident in the director's office. There you go.
Oh, that's so good, man. I
appreciate that.
Really enjoyed this so much. We're talking to David McCloskey here on the National Defense. The book's called The Seventh Floor, and available everywhere, I'm guessing.
Yeah, anywhere you get your books. You know, audio, ebook, print, Amazon, you know, indie bound, whatever.
Did you do the audio? Did you read it?
No. I don't think I would be very good at it. I haven't tried, but we had a wonderful voice actor named Sharon Friedman who did it, and I think really did a great job of bringing Proctor to life.
I gotta hear Proctor's voice. I may have to get the audio book too, but just to hear her. David, listen, thank you for the time, man. Thank you for your service to your country and for the great novel, The Seventh Floor.
Thank you. Really appreciate you having me.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at WoundedWarriorProject.org/possible.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Right.
Yeah. I like to think we're the first, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't there at the beginning. But, yeah, you know, when things work, people want to emulate. So
right.
We think, you know, what is it? Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So there you go.
Hey, so what kind of mail, emails, what kind of comments do you get from firefighters?
You know, some of the drama in the house, it may not be something that they resonate with as much. But that's part of television. That's part of entertainment. But they really appreciate the diligence we do when it comes to accuracy with our fires and how we deal with them. Obviously, there's some things that we can and can't do just with limitations on human life and the dangers that come with being a real firefighter, since we aren't real firefighters. But we have such a great team of consultants. Steve Chikorotis, known as Chick, is a legend here in Chicago and really across the nation when it comes to firefighters. So they get a lot. They really appreciate the diligence we have. We even go down and go to the Fire Academy last year, and I think almost every year since the show started, David Eigenberg, who plays Herman, goes down there. And so a few of us went down last summer to the IFSI, the Illinois Fire Safety Institute, and we learned. We were right there along with all the other firefighters going into fires, understanding what we need to do. So just showing up, you know, I think is a big
for those guys.
Yeah, I think so. And they appreciate, like you're talking about, you know, getting it right and getting it the way they would do it. And a lot of, you know, a lot of times, though, I mean, you guys are always have some kind of action going on Chicago Fire. But, you know, like in small town communities like I live in, you go to the fire department and a lot of it is just sitting around, you know.
There is a lot of that sitting around, but that's also a part of it. You know, on the show, we talk about that, or we show that, depict that by, you know, the time we spend in the common room or the time we spend doing drills. Like, that's what a lot of those guys do. You know, as you know, Tony Ferraris, who was a real firefighter, he just retired last year, who's on the show. Like, that's what they would do. You know, you're in there. If you're not working out or, you know, taking a little downtime in between, depending on the day, you're going outside and you're running drills. You got to stay sharp. So while there is a lot of downtime, I think those guys do a great job of staying sharp. And those guys from small towns, like I grew up in a small town. I'm from Texas. I grew up in a town of like 136 people when I was there. And there was we had a volunteer fire department. So like some of those guys are at work.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
They're at work and they get a call and they got to leave work so that they can go do this thing that they're volunteering for that saves lives.
Yeah, we're talking to Jake Lockett here, the National Defense, Sam Carver from Chicago Fire, 13th season happening. And I want to find out, you mentioned from Texas, and you graduated from A&M with a degree in aerospace engineering. So how do you go from that to where you are now?
Well, some of it's just like luck, you know, but a lot of it was just my realization that, I had acted in high school a little bit, and I really loved performing. So after I got out of high school and went to college, got my degree, I found myself with a very interesting job, but one that dealt with me being in a cubicle most days.
And right.
That just wasn't the life for me. It was a great job, but it's not my cup of tea. It didn't get me excited to wake up in the morning. So I started performing again, and that led me to acting. You know, I had some people believe in me, and I trusted it.
Well, you know, our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. Mm. So, I mean, they have a great appreciation for, whether, you know, any kind of first responder action and, you know, any kind of show like this. And so it's great that you guys have continued to put some great stuff out. That's got to be tough, though, you know, after going into your 13th season, to come up with new storylines and new ideas, huh?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I'm not the one that has to do that. But, you know, first off, thank you to all those listeners and all of our active and former military people. We really appreciate it. It definitely is hard. But we also, like, our writers are scouring the news headlines. Mm. Like, we're not just creating stuff out of thin air. Like, we're trying to take things from real life, you know. You know, the cliffhanger from last season, the finale of last season was from an actual thing where a crane had fallen across two buildings and people were hanging from it. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, we're talking like 30 stories up, you know, like that's where they brought that. Or, you know, I can't tell you how many times I talked to our consultants, you know, whether it's our paramedic consultant or Steve Chikorotis, who was the chief here in Chicago for a bit, they tell us crazy stories, and they talk to the writers, and that's where the writers are inspired.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And, you know, you forget about sometimes I do forget about the EMT part of firefighters. But, I mean, that is a huge responsibility, not only, you know, fighting fires, but responding to different injuries and accidents, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, engine goes out with the paramedics almost every time they get called out, but just because they're trained in certain aspects and they may need that assistance on a scene. So they're very hand in hand. You know, the paramedics do go out on their own for sure. But it's a collaborative experience, for the real guys, to my knowledge. Like they'll go out there a lot, on different calls and make sure that they have the backup and the support they need.
So do you ever get any comments from firefighters about how often you take your shirt off? Do you have to fight? do you need to fight fires without your shirt? What's that about?
Well, I'd like to think that anyone that's watched the show enough knows that
Carver doesn't take it off in the fire, but he does take it off in other situations. So, you know, you got to take a shower.
That's right. Well, sure. Yeah, right. We're talking to Jake Lockett here in the National Defense Chicago Fire 13 season. Hey, let's talk about something important. How's your golf game?
Oh, important indeed. Golf is good, man. I invest probably more time than I should in it. It's going pretty good right now. I got it down to a three something handicap.
Oh, so man. Okay.
Work, you know?
Yeah.
Well, how about yours? You play?
You know, I do. And it's, you know, I'm obsessed like everybody else, but it's almost like, man, I took a couple of weeks off, from playing golf and I got back to it and I actually played better. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's the formula.
I think the problem with golf is like, as soon as you find what seems like a formula, it goes the
right.
Next time you play.
So it's right.
Constantly
right.
Evolving frustration. It's awesome though, because most people on the show play. So like we go out and play a lot. We're trying to get together. I'm just going to throw this out. Maybe it'll go manifest it into something. we're trying to get it to where our show plays other shows.
Oh,
like,
that'd be cool.
As like a fun little tournament. We'll
that
see
would
if we
be cool.
Make.
You know who used to do something like that was Paul Newman. Paul Newman, everywhere he filmed, he would have his crew play the local radio station there. And I was a part of that once when they filmed here in Kansas City. They do that. Michael Bolton has a softball team called the Bolton Bombers. They would play the local radio station. So, you know, if you can't get the other shows to play, you can always play radio stations here in Chicago. Get the guys from WGN.
Let's do it. I mean, we can start there, you know, and maybe that's the birth of it all. I'm down. I'm down playing with the golf. Let's go.
I got a buddy of mine that I play on a regular basis, and every time we play, I'm always, you know, something horrible is coming when he says, "I've made a discovery" in his swing. I mean, the discovery works for about three holes, and then it's just down the toilet.
Yeah, that person has spent too much time on YouTube.
That's exactly. That's exactly right. We're talking to Jake Lockett here on the National Defense. Yeah, have you played Medina yet?
I haven't. That's actually next. I might be playing that next week.
So wow.
I wish I could tell you something fun about it, but, you know, we did go down as a group and play Pinehurst last this spring, and I'll tell you what.
You played number two?
Played number 2, 4, 8, and I think, no, those are the three I played. I don't know that you can go to more of a golf mecca. It is amazing. You gotta go. Haven't gone? Go one time. It's worth it.
I've gone. A buddy of mine took me there for my 40th birthday, and I gotta tell you something funny. So you gotta have caddies there, right? And my buddy's caddy, I don't know, maybe he used to be a professional golfer. He was incredible. My caddy knew nothing. And so, you know, that's what I blamed it on. And so we get to the 18th hole. And as you know, the 18th hole at number 2, there's a back porch with rocking chairs there. And everybody's sitting on the back porch in a rocking chair watching people come in. Well, again, I blame my caddy for the wrong number. I hit it over the green onto the back porch. You've never seen people scatter like they did. And so I'm obviously not invited back.
Well, you know, as long as it's been a year or so, I'm sure that the people that were sitting there have forgotten. I think you can do it. I think you can go.
What'd you shoot at number 2?
I think I shot an 84.
Oh, fantastic.
Not my greatest, but, you know, I was definitely not mad.
Yeah.
It was places where things tend to snowball. Like, you start out really good. I think it was like 3 over through 9.
Right.
And then the back 9 got me. I was like, okay.
That's a tough course. Like you said, it's a golf mecca, man. It's so cool.
Well, it is. Yeah.
Jake, it's so great to talk to you, man. Continued great success with Chicago Fire and everything else. Just a great show to watch.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, a full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary direct connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.